We established the subcabinet on BRAC-based realignment enclosure in 2007 when we were first sworn in because of, the need that we saw at that time to enhance coordination within government, state government, to prepare for the arrival of these, tens of thousands of BRAC jobs and the families that come with those jobs. And the BRAC subcabinet has also been used to do that kind of vertical coordination between the federal government, the local government, and also the private sector.
And what does state government have to do to prepare for BRAC?
State government has two sort of broad requirements, responsibilities, or obligations. One is to ensure that the physical infrastructure is in place. That's roads, that's public transit in some parts of the state. It's water and sewer treatment plants. Because remember, BRAC for Maryland isn't just, Bethesda Naval consolidating with Walter Reed, but it's also growth at Fort Detrick, at Aberdeen Proving Ground, at Fort Meade, and at Joint Base Andrews. So physical infrastructure is a very important function, ensuring that it's in place for the arrival of these families and jobs. The second broad area is what we call, or certainly I do, the human capital development, and that's making sure that our workforce is skilled to compete for these jobs that are coming to Maryland. So we're investing in our schools, not only in the classroom, but building more schools, particularly in these BRAC growth or BRAC impacted counties, and also what we're offering in our colleges and universities, ensuring that the programs are fit to support the kinds of jobs that are coming with BRAC.
This is an inordinate amount of work, just huge, and it's taken years to get to the point where you can send out the progress report. Has it been worth it?
Well, it certainly has been worth it. When we first came in office, when we were first sworn in, there was a lot of anxiety in Maryland about what BRAC meant. And there were concerns in our communities that it would be this influx of jobs and families, and it might negatively impact the quality of life in our communities because it was a rapid sort of growth and development period. So it was important for us to form the subcabinet, to do the coordination, the planning. At the end of 2007, we published a BRAC action plan. We've had progress reports every year since to ensure that we're monitoring our progress towards these action items and identifying any areas where we might be lagging or slipping behind. And overall, the process is, I think, really instilled confidence in the Maryland public that we are ready for BRAC and we're welcoming it with open arms. And that's not true in every state. There are a lot of states that are very concerned about BRAC because of the demands and pressures of that growth and development and that state's inability to respond.
And when it comes to roads and infrastructure issues like that, how do you negotiate with the federal government over what they should do and what's left for the state to do? I imagine that's a pretty chalky line that you push back and forth.
Sure. We work closely with our federal delegation, and that's, led by our senior senator, Barbara Mikulski, and to ensure that Maryland gets its share of federal funding. And there's been less and less of that over the years, but we've been successful to get a few dollars for some of our transportation projects. It is a joint effort. There have been very few new construction projects in Maryland in the last 4 years because of the lack of resources. But those projects, those new starts that we have been able to move forward on have been our BRAC-related projects. So the state recognizes that it has a commitment to the transportation projects. We work with the federal, delegation to ensure that we're getting as much as we can from the federal government. And you know about the report recently issued that basically concluded that insufficient funding has gone to BRAC jobs. So we're going to continue working with our federal delegation to increase that level of funding.
Talk to me a bit about any of the concerns that remain when it comes to the Walter Reed merger with the Bethesda Naval Medical Center, because that area is congested even before that all happens, and there's still work to be done to bring that up to speed. So where do you stand now? What are the challenges you face ahead?
Well, I mean, most importantly, we've worked with the community, with the county executive, Ike Leggett and his team, to develop a plan that has, broad-based consensus or support within the community. It's a phased plan. We're going to use the limited resources we have today to bring some relief to vehicular traffic along 355. In the long term, the solution really really is to get more cars off the road and more people taking public transit or mass transit. And that's where we've worked with Representative or Congressman Chris Van Hollen to get federal funding to increase the capacity and improve the access to the Metro Center right there at the NIH.
We're speaking with Maryland Lieutenant Governor Anthony Brown. Now, you mentioned Fort Meade, Fort Detrick, Bethesda. There's a lot of BRAC going on. This sub-cabinet work, this agency that you've set up in an ad hoc way, does that dissolve away after BRAC is all completed? Or do you anticipate maybe down the line more BRAC benefit coming to Maryland?
The sub-cabinet will sunset at the end of this year. And that doesn't mean that we will no longer coordinate activities and investments that are related to BRAC. But the big push will be behind us as the jobs arrive by the end of September, because that's the federal law says that BRAC jobs, the direct jobs, have to be in place by the end of September this year. But the members of the sub-cabinet, which include the Department of Transportation and the Department of Planning and Housing and Community Development, and the list goes on, there are about eight or nine members on the sub-cabinet, they will continue to have BRAC coordinators within their departments. And we will continue to make BRAC a priority, because we know that there's still going to be a lot of follow-on work as the defense contracting community comes into Maryland, which we don't anticipate all of them to be here by September 2011, but during the course of the next few years. So we will have resources in the departments to coordinate, but we no longer see a need for the BRAC sub-cabinet.
As you look back at this process and how it has evolved over the past 4 or 5 years, clearly this whole BRAC move was, if not unprecedented, at least certainly rare and unusual. Is there anything that you have taken away from this process when it comes specifically to working with the federal government and having to have that push-pull between who gets the marching orders and who is responsible for paying for what, that sort of communication? What have you learned from that entire process?
Well, one of the things that we learned is that, communication and coordination is very critical, and making sure that the needs that are expressed, on the street corner in Aberdeen, Maryland, by the mayor of Aberdeen, are communicated all the way up to the Department of Defense, where it may relate to, for example, the Defense Access Road Program. So it's, as state government, we are sort of the conduit in some sense, for communicating from the street corner to where the dollars are being spent. And that communication and coordination, it doesn't happen by chance. You can't do it just sort of every so often. You have to implement a process whereby you are regularly convening stakeholders, listening to ideas, sharing the concerns that everyone has, and then finding the consensus and common ground towards a solution. The other thing that I would say is a learning lesson for all of us is that the Defense Access Road Program ought to be expanded. And right now it's designed more to address expansion, growth and development in less populated, less dense areas, and literally dealing with roads. But when you look at Bethesda, where we don't have a need for additional roads, but to expand the capacity of mass transit, the Defense Access Road Program doesn't really support that type of transportation investment.
And this is going to be formally released on today, right?
Let's see.
Has been released.
Yep, the report is out, and in fact, I have it right in front of me, the cover letter to the governor. I transmitted it to the governor on January 4th, 2011.